Good morning. And it is a good morning. A good day to be in the house of the Lord. God is good. Our Lord is good. Isn't it wonderful? That song is about Jesus. That song, Laura, goes with every message. Because every message is really about Jesus. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28 today. Matthew 28. I think it's a fitting scripture. It's doubly fitting because last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and we talked about how Jesus was risen from the dead. He was crucified, he was buried, and he was risen on the third day. And now he was the first fruits. And because he rose and had the power to be risen from the dead, we also will be risen from the dead also. But that wasn't the end of his ministry on earth. Because Jesus spent some time with the disciples, with those who were following him. 40 days he spent on the earth, still teaching those who followed him, even after he was raised from the dead. You know, I think this, that shows how much the Lord loves us, doesn't it? He had just been through all these years, he left heaven to be a human being, and all the indignities and the pain and all the things that go with being human. He had just been crucified by the Roman soldiers, beaten and mocked and killed on a cross, buried and raised again. I think I'd have been ready to go on home to my father. I'd have said, Lord, I've had enough of this place. I think I'm going to be like that when I go. Lord, I've had enough of this place. But you know what? He stayed 40 more days after he rose because he needed to. Because he knew his disciples needed him. Because he knew there were things that he had to teach. He knew there was faith that he'd have to uplift. And you know what? The disciples got to see him go up into the clouds. They got to hear his last words, the things that he would say to them just before. And that's how you know. You know, the last if it was the last time you were going to see somebody that you cared about, well, don't you think that your last words to them would be the most important? Don't you think that that would be really what you'd give some thought to how you'd want to spend those last moments with somebody, wouldn't you? Well, Jesus did exactly that. And he knew that this was in the flesh. This would be the last few moments that he would spend with his disciples that he loved so much. And those who would begin the church. And these are some of these words. These are the words he spoke. These are the words he found to be extremely important that he wanted to leave his disciples with. And words that he wants to leave us with. Here's this morning. And so we'll start reading. If you'll stand, Matthew 28, I'm going to start reading in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this promise. I thank you for this commandment. I know, Lord, that you have commanded us to do exactly this, Lord, that this is what you'd have us to do in your service, is to teach every nation and to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and knowing all the time, Lord, that you are with us always in everything that we do. If we do it in your name, Lord, that you are in it, and you have been given all power. And because you've been given all power, we know that your word will not come back void. I thank you, Lord, for this word. I ask you to speak through me this morning, that you'll open our hearts and our minds, that you'll give us what we need to know from this scripture. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I take great comfort in serving a God who has been given all power. Who has been given all power, listen, not just in heaven. You know, I think that people think, well, Jesus is in heaven. God is in heaven. He's got all power. He tells the angels what to do, but he doesn't have a lot of power here. There's a sect of people who believe in God, but they don't believe God wants to have a hand in our lives. That there is a God out there, that God did create the universe, but that God's not a personal God. That he doesn't take part in our lives. That he doesn't want to take part in our lives. And I want to tell you, that is not a biblical idea. God is in heaven, but he is also very much a part of our lives. Jesus not only came and was made human for his 33 years on this earth to identify with us, but he still, y'all, identifies with us. He is making intercession for us with the Father. And he's been given all power in heaven and in earth. So that intercession, y'all, has weight, doesn't it? That intercession that Jesus is doing for us carries a lot of weight, because all power has been given him in heaven and in earth. But do we truly treat Jesus as if all power has been given him? I look around me and I see so many people who say they believe in Jesus, but they have what Paul said, a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Listen, you can't have it both ways. You can't have a form of godliness and then deny his power. Because his power means everything. His power is why we can pray to him. His power is why we can ask him for things, and we can have faith that he's able to do those things which we ask. If he wasn't powerful enough to answer our prayers, why would we pray? If he wasn't powerful enough to work miracles, why would we pray for something we didn't think was possible? Listen, if we didn't think he was powerful enough to save our souls, then we'd be of all people most miserable. All power, though, has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. But not everybody is going to be there with us, right? We've got to understand, church, that there's going to be a lot of folks like these Pharisees. Just back up a few verses, and we see that there's this great conspiracy to try to cover up the resurrection of Jesus. But you notice that these disciples, although they had locked themselves in a room when Jesus came and said, listen, go into this mountain, go to this place, go do these things that I want you to do, they left all that conspiracy behind. I'm not worried about any of that anymore. Do you notice how they did? They were worried at first until Jesus came to them in the flesh, and they believed because they were able to put their hand into his side, and they were able to put their fingers into the nail-scarred hands, and they believed that he had the power and that all power had been given to him. And so now they're not worried about what those Pharisees had to say. They're not worried about the Romans had to say. As a matter of fact, they go on to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ all through the nations, opening churches, beginning churches, and even though they were beaten and they were stoned and they were killed in untold ways, they kept at it. And they were not fearful of what men could do, because they knew they served a God who had been given all power in heaven and in earth. And so they were able to just keep, make a, you know, we know that they're out there, don't we? We know that we have opposition, but they don't stop us from telling people about Jesus. And listen, if they are stopping you here today, I want to tell you, you don't have to be afraid of the world. And this is a sermon, I'll tell you, this is something that's been on my heart, and it's been on my mind. I know the Lord has put it on my heart. We as a church have got to stop being afraid. Afraid of what men will say. Afraid of what men might think. Afraid of what men might do. I don't care if they agree with me or not, church. I'm not afraid of them because my Lord has been given all power in heaven and on earth. And he says, go ye therefore. And a good friend of mine who has passed away recently used to say, anytime you see a therefore, you should ask, what is that therefore there for? Why is that therefore there? Because of what just was being said. Because Jesus is given all power in heaven and on earth. Because he is the only name under heaven whereby men might be saved. Because he is the only hope that humanity has for any faith, for any salvation, for any hope of life. Because he is that one and that is the only name. Go tell somebody. Teach all nations. Does it say, look around and find the ones that listen to you? No. Did it say, go and tell the ones who aren't going to be mad at you? No. Did it say, go and tell the ones who look like you? No. Did he say, go and tell the anybody? Did he make any specifications whatsoever about which nation, which people that you should tell and teach the gospel of Jesus? And I tell you, no. He said, go tell all nations. Everybody, everybody you see, everybody you know, everybody who hates you, everybody who doesn't look like you, everybody needs Jesus. And therefore, we should tell everybody about Jesus. Go ye therefore, because all power is given to him, into all nations, and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know what the gospel is. I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to talk to people about Jesus. I'm afraid I'll mess it up. Well, listen, there's no way to mess this up. You tell people that Jesus is Lord. You tell them that he died for your sins. You tell them that you have no hope of life in your sin without him. Tell them what Jesus did for you. You can't mess that up. If you love the Lord, if you know, if you're a Christian, then you know that one day you got on your knees and you cried out to God and you said, I know I'm a sinner and I am lost and I know that if I die today, I'm going to go to hell and Jesus saved my soul. If you know that, if that's true in your life, that is the gospel. That's all you've got to tell somebody. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be scared of because he's been given all power in heaven and in earth. Go into all nations. And then we're going to have a baptism this morning. Praise God, a young man has given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in obedience to his word, what we see right here, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we're going to do exactly that here this morning in obedience to Jesus because all power has been given to him. And so when he commands us to do something, we better do it, church. And so we're going to do exactly that, and that is the tradition of the church to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Praise God, Jaden. Teach the nations, tell them about Jesus, baptize them. And baptize them, and I've just got to say this. Listen, I believe that when you baptize somebody, you dunk them down in the water. Put them under the water, all the way under the water. Jesus came up out of the water when he was baptized. They had to have much water. When they said that they were going to baptize and they had to find a place to baptize, they didn't just have to go find a sprinkle of water. They had to go find a place that Bible said where there was much water. Why? Because they had to have enough to get them under. And you know why you have to do that? You know why we need to do that? Because baptism is a picture of the Lord Jesus going into the grave and bursting forth in resurrection and new life. And it's a picture of us dying to our old self, going down into the grave, burying that old man, and then springing up in new life in Jesus. That's important, y'all. I believe Satan would love to get rid of that picture, wouldn't he? He would love to do away with the picture of a person going under into death and dying to ourselves and then being resurrected in new life in Jesus. A new creature, the Bible says. Oh, I don't know about you, but that old man, I don't have any use for him anymore. The little bit, the part of him that still plagues me is a plague. I will be so glad one day when I'm rid of him. I want to be with Jesus, and I want to be more like Jesus every day. And I'm so glad that he was able to bury that part of me, to get rid of my sin, to wash away my sin in his blood, to give me hope of a new life, to make me a new creation. Paul said, to make you a new creature in the Lord. So you're not the same person you used to be. Jaden is not the same person he used to be. His future is not what it would have been without Jesus. Praise God. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know him, your future can be different. You can't do anything about your past, but you know what you can do with that past? You can bury it in the ground. Bury it under that water and leave it in the water as you come up a new creation in Christ. Knowing that all that you had done, all the sin and all the shame can be left and washed away. Oh, praise God. Baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, all power had been given to Jesus, but you notice that Jesus is not selfish with it, is he? He says, let's give credit where credit is due. All has to go through the Father in heaven. You need the Holy Spirit indwelling your life and sanctifying your life. They all three are separate persons, but they're all one. They're all one God. But that name, and I guess today we've sort of lost the idea of what a name really means. Some of us have. There was a time when a person's name meant something, and that we wanted it to mean something. That when somebody had something to say about that Jones family over in Pollock, that we didn't want it to be something bad, right? That we wanted our name to mean something. When I took your hand and said I'd do something, it meant something. And there's still folks like that. But there's a lot of folks that's not. You know why it needs to be that way? Because God is that way. Because Jesus is that way. When he shakes your hand and tells you he's going to do something, you can bank on it, church. You can bank on it. You know it's true. He won't break his word. Now, I might do my level best to do what I said, and I still might fail. And we've got to take that into account with each other, don't we? I think we should. I think every one of us ought to be trying to do everything we say we're going to do, just like Jesus did. But I don't have the power to always do that. I'll fail. But our God and our Savior never fails. And so when he tells us he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And so when you baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, that name has never failed. That name encompasses all that God is, all his goodness, his truth, his honesty, his power, his omnipotence, his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his love. His name, when you say the name of Jesus, what does that bring to your mind? Does it bring all those things to your mind? Does it, when you say the name Jesus, does it Does it just automatically make you think of righteousness and glory and honor and power and grace and mercy and love and all the things that is God? It should, because that's what that name is. That's what it's all about. And so when we are baptized into that name, listen, we're baptized into the family of God. We're baptized into the body of Christ. We're baptized into a body of believers that one day will spend an eternity with Jesus. But until then, we're baptized into a work. Into a work. Into His kingdom, yes. Into a kingdom where there's work to do. There's always work to do in a kingdom, isn't there? Now, I know we live in America in a century that is unlike any that has ever been. And we believe in voting on everything, don't we? We think that if the majority votes on it, that's got to be the way. Majority always rules in America, right? But we think we ought to have a vote, don't we? We've come to believe that we ought to have a vote in everything. And if I don't like my leadership, well, I don't feel like my vote counted. You know what? We don't have to like the leadership. But we got to pray for them. And you know why? Because that leadership represents the people around us, doesn't it? In America, we voted on those folks. Those folks came from us. In a way, when we look at our leadership and say, boy, I don't like that. You know what we're saying? Boy, I don't like us as a nation. A lot of times a nation, and not just a lot of times, the Bible says that a nation kind of gets what it asks for. Now, I said all that to say this, that our leadership should truly be the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord has power over all others. He has power over all others. All other leadership, all of our votes don't matter, because with God, we don't get a vote. Now, I'm going to ask you again, are we good with that? Because I am. I'm never sure when I go pull a lever if I'm voting for the right guy. I don't remember the last time I felt good and happy about pulling a lever in any election that I've went to. And this is not about politics. This is about letting the Lord be our leadership. The only lever I've ever pulled in my life that I am 100% sure was the right call was when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior and made Him King of my life. I can't go wrong with that, y'all. I didn't go wrong with that. Y'all can't go wrong with that, because He has been given all power. And He is nothing but goodness and righteousness and wisdom. And He deserves all glory and all honor. And so we're baptized into His name, and that is an incredible honor, y'all. I don't know how to say it anymore. I can't even express words what an honor it is that He would let us use His name. And when I tell somebody I'm a Christian, I'm saying I'm like Christ. That's what Christian means, that I'm a follower of Christ. Y'all, I am not worthy to be called by His name. It is an incredible honor that He is willing to let us be called by His name. And we're baptized into that name. And we get baptized not to save us. Now, I hope nobody here thinks that baptism saved your soul. And there likely are people, maybe here today, but there are lots of people who walked an aisle one time when they were young and got their head dunked under the water and thought that's all it took. Y'all, baptism is just a sign of what's happened in your heart. Baptism is an obedience to tell people, to let people know publicly that you are a Christian, that you are a follower of Christ now, that He's changed your heart. And so if there is somebody here who needs to be baptized, I would encourage you to come forward. Maybe you got saved. Maybe you were baptized at a young age when you were not saved. And since then you did get saved, but you were too ashamed or too scared of what people would think. I would encourage you to make a profession of faith publicly and be baptized since Jesus saved your soul. You know, it's not just, and this is the beginning. This is the beginning for Jaden, and baptism is the beginning of publicly acknowledging that we belong to Christ. But listen, that's not the last time you're going to need to publicly acknowledge that you're a Christian. That's just the beginning, church. It's pretty easy to do that right here in front of all us, because all of us are going to clap our hands and we're going to praise God. And we're glad that you got baptized. But when you get out in the world, y'all, you still have to publicly say to the world, I'm a Christian. You say it with your actions. You say it with your life. But listen, you got to also say it with your words. And what does it say in verse 20? And I want to challenge the church. I want to make sure I challenge the church right now, especially with Jaden, that we are there for him. Because what does this say? It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Listen, once we've taught people the gospel and told people about Jesus, and they've accepted him and we've baptized them, then, listen, we don't kick them to the curb. After they have accepted Christ, now comes the important work of being there for them, teaching them, encouraging them in the Word, teaching them about what the Bible says and what Jesus wants in our lives. Being there with some wisdom and saying, listen, I know you're young. You need to know that that is the wrong. That, even though it doesn't look like it now, that's going to lead in the wrong direction. Listen, don't be afraid to say those words. As a matter of fact, and this is not just family, because we're all family. And I think we look at this wrong. I think a lot of us think, well, we're going to have to let that family do their own thing because they'll get mad at me if I interfere. Now, if they do, then they're in the wrong, because this is a church thing. This is a church thing. We need each other. We need to all be there encouraging Jaden. We need to be encouraged, just a few words. Jaden, you been reading your Bible? What you been reading lately? You want to talk about it. Anytime you get a chance, what's going on in your life? Do you want to talk about it? And a lot of older people say, well, they won't want to talk about it. I think you might be surprised. Do you remember when you were that age? You remember pretending that you knew everything, but knowing in your heart you didn't know anything? Yeah, I put on a facade. I tried to pretend I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. But somewhere down inside, I knew that weren't true. And I needed a little help. Listen, they do too. The young people in here, listen, don't be ashamed to ask for some help. If you don't understand something, if something's going on in your life and you haven't seen it in the Bible, listen, there's somebody in here who's read it. Because let me tell you something, young people. There is not anything that you need to know that's not in here. Find somebody that you can talk to. And if somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer to, don't be ashamed to say, I don't know. Go and find out. Find somebody to help you. Find somebody to have a Bible study about that. Probably the whole church needs to have a Bible study about that. Listen, it's what it's all about. Let's help each other. Let's be there for each other. Let's encourage each other in the Word. Let's teach each other, listen, to observe all the things that Jesus commanded. Because, listen, remember, all power has been given to Him in heaven and in earth. And so when He commands us to do something, it is incumbent upon His people to do exactly that. And not to come up with our own version, not to try to do it our own way, not to try to figure out some way to get around it, not to say, well, if he told us to be baptized, but I don't want my hair to get wet. Whatever it may be, maybe the water is cold. Jaden says, is that water cold? I said, no, it's warm. But listen, if it is cold as ice, if somebody went back there and dumped it full of ice, I'm going to get down in there and I'm going to encourage Jaden to come right in there with me in that cold water and we're going to dunk his head. That's just the way it's going to have to be. Because the baptism is more important than all the other circumstances. Listen, obeying Christ and His commandments are more important than all the circumstances of the world that are trying to get in our way. Remember that. And listen to this. This is the great promise that you can hold on to forever. This is about being the anchor, that Jesus is that anchor. Listen, He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Even to the end of the world. I hear so many people, even Christians, that are scared. They're like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I think that Armageddon is coming, and I'm so scared of the end of all. Why are we afraid, church? No, that is not something for us to be afraid of. That's something for the world to be afraid of. We don't have to be afraid because the Lord Jesus Christ promises us that, lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world. And He'll be, listen to me, even on that day when you take your final breath, He's going to send His angels, y'all. I don't know how to get there. I don't know the way, and I don't have a map, and I don't need one. Because He's going to send His angels to get me, and He's going to carry me to Jesus. So I don't need to know anything else except Jesus. That is my map. That is my way. He is the truth, and He is the life. Don't be afraid. He is with us always, and all power has been put in His hands. Trust Him, church. Trust Him. Now, we're going to have a hymn of invitation, and I want you to come up. If you need to do business with God, the altars are open. We've got sick. We have those that have been laid on our hearts. Let's pray for them. Pray for Jaden. And when we get through with this invitation, then we're going to have a baptism.